Amen. Let's open our Bibles, if we might, before we go to prayer, to Hebrews chapter 5. And begin reading at verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself, but to be made an high priest. But he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art my priest, or thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cries and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was able in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all men that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong drink, or strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskilled in the word of right wiseness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we hear Paul speak of a people who could not take the strong meat. They end up going back to milk and tell them they need to be trained all over again in the principles of God, knowing that the strong meat is for those who are of full age. So, Father, we ask that you would help us, Lord, in our understanding of the sermon of Brother Branham's, Who is this Melchizedek? Knowing that it was meat that could only come at a time of full age. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves to this understanding. We pray that you'd help us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And of course he said, if you be any otherwise minded, he'll reveal it to you. I'm in need of more light up here, and our light bulb's out. Unless someone has a little stronger reading glasses I could borrow. One thing we need to understand in reading the scripture is that the paragraphs were not in the original text, the paragraph numbers. That was actually done by a monk who thought it would be a little easier to go between scripture. So that was around the 14th or 15th century. So Paul says here, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So at the time of the full age, those who can eat the full meat, or the strong meat, will have a discernment. Notice if we were to keep reading, he says, therefore. In other words, well, let's go back to verse verse 11. He says, of whom we have many things to say, speaking about Melchizedek, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom, this Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard things to be uttered, seeing that you're dull of hearing. Now this is Alpha, and the people lost their hearing. They lost their ability to understand. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. In other words, teaching all over again. the first principles of the oracles of God. And I become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You know, I think it was interesting that sometime during the 70s, it seemed, 70s, people were beginning to get some type of a hunger for the doctrine during the 70s, but it seemed like during the 80s, when the doctrine finally come, they want to go back to the milk. I'm not talking about the individuals here, I'm talking about the general sense is what I see in the message. They've gone more and more back into Pentecost, seeing that Alpha has become Omega, it has to happen. But he says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have come into a discernment. That's Malachi 3, verse 16 to 18. Knowing those who serve God, knowing those who don't. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let's go on to perfection. Now, what's the subject here? You see, if you take Hebrews 6 and separate it from Hebrews chapter 5, you're going to be looking at something in your mind that's perfection, that's different from Melchizedek. But he's speaking about Melchizedek when he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, leaving the milk, let's go on to perfection. So you're not going to get this perfection through doctrine. Knowing doctrine. This goes beyond the doctrine. You can quote the doctrine. You can know it. But this goes beyond. This goes into perfection. Not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, in other words, lifeless acts, of the doctrine of baptisms and laying on the hands and of resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment, and this we will do if God permits. Paul said, if God permits, we're going to go beyond the doctrine, into the perfection, into knowing this Melchizedek. And thus we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once for all enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gifts and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, having fallen away, it's impossible for them to renew again unto repentance. They might still talk doctrine, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about this Melchizedek. And he says that they cannot understand this Melchizedek until they're of full age. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. For when the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of right wiseness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full. That's a seventh age. Now, in the message from Brother Branham, who's this Melchizedek? Let me just read it here just a moment. He said, we thank thee for thy great power and thy great revelation of thyself to us in this last hour. Anybody tell me what scriptures those are? We thank thee for thy great power and thy great revelation of thyself to us in this last days. Thy great revelation of thyself in this last days. There's many scriptures, of course, that speak of the great dunamis, the great power and glory, which is the very mind. But 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-12, in that day when you shall know this gospel. That's the day you become glorified, for he comes to be glorified in his saints. Ephesians 1:17-23, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. 1 Corinthians 13:9-12, we shall know even as we're known. 1 Peter 1:13, that's that at the grace that will be brought at the revealing of Christ, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:4-10, speaking of that great grace that sweeps across the bride at the apocalypse, so that we come behind with no spiritual endowment, with no lack of understanding. Revelation 10:1-7, the Lord himself coming down. Now, notice at verse 11, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 5. Because the whole crux of Hebrews is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And notice in chapter 5, verse 11, he says, of whom we have many things to say, speaking of verse 10, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you have become dull of hearing. Interesting. They have ears to hear, but they wouldn't hear. Eyes to see, but they couldn't perceive. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. Which means that they lost it. That's why we can say that you are dull of hearing, that you have become dull of hearing. Because they were taught in the Alpha. That's why Paul said, if any angel comes and teaches you again what I've taught, or teaches contrary to what I've taught, let him be accursed. He says, now, why is it that you so easily put up with it when they come and teach another Jesus, one of a different nature, another spirit, one of a different nature, another gospel, a different one, different nature, different twist? So Paul's letting us know that the understanding of Melchizedek could not have come until this hour, until the time of the full age. Notice, this is not milk, but it's for a people of full age who will be able to handle it. In verse 11, he says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you're dull of hearing. These people had an inability to grasp. Let's turn to Matthew 13. Verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why do you speak unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given for you to gnosko, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Excuse me. Now the word gnosko is to know, not only in from a mental understanding, but in an experiential way. Because Mary said, how is it that I'm with child, having gnosko no men? So there's an experiential way in which they'll know. And that, I believe, is by vindication. He answered and said unto them, because it is given for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. The disciples had just asked Jesus why he spoke in parables to them, the great multitudes. And he answered that his message was not for everyone, only for a certain type of person, a chosen, elect person. And notice in verse 12 he says that his words are only for those who have, that is to echo, to be able to reflect back God's word. Didn't the same Jesus say, he who confesses me before men, I shall confess him before my Father? Brother Ram said, confess means to say the same thing. The word confess is the Greek word homologos, meaning the same logos. So we see then that there's a people who's not going to be able to grasp it. There's a people who are going to be able to grasp it. And he says in Hebrews chapter 5, it can't come until there's a people who are of full age, who have come to the place where they've let their own thinking go and they've received the very mind of God. But Mark 4 and verse 11, he says, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to gnosko the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all of these things are done in parables. We spoke of this just a minute ago with Matthew. But you notice that Jesus refers to the great multitude are those that are without. That word without is the Greek word exo, which means strangers. They who do not have the same origin as the ex donates, origin, and the o ending means away from. So these were not of him, nor did they have their source in God, as Jesus made so clear in John chapter 8. So they had an inability to grasp it. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Reading from verse 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect, mature, fully complete is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now when I was a child, I spake as a child because I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three things, but the greatest of these is love. Now, I believe I have an explanation of that. Find it real quick. Let me read it this way. For we gnosko in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I gnosko in part, but then shall I gnosko, even as also I am gnosko. Now the gnosko of God is in part until the time this scripture comes to pass. Brother Brown told us that this word was fulfilled in his ministry. The perfect word has come down. From questions and answers, August 24th of 63, Brother Brown said, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. And we do have, by God's help, the perfect interpretation of the word with divine vindication. He later said, is there anything perfect but God? And the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word is still God. So we see, notice, how would we know? Because of a divine vindication. Now, that brings us to Ephesians chapter 4. Notice verse 11. And he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That's the maturing. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God there's your Godhead, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. Now, what did Paul say when we're children? What do we do? When I was a child, I what? Thought as a child, understood as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. Now I know as a child, now I know in what? Part. But then, when I, a full man, when then will I know, even as also I am known. So, he says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge, the gnosko, of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, a fully mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of his measure, to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Paul's talking about growing up. He's talking about a time of adoption, when we're no longer children, when we know, even as also we shall be known. Now we know that 1 John chapter 3, beloved, now we're sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. We will as he appears, as he phanerous, we will phanerous. Paul said the purpose of the fivefold ministry is to bring the people up to that place. He does tell us that there's coming a time when we will come to that place, when we come to the unity of the faith, under the stature of a perfect man, fully complete. And we couldn't receive the revelation or the teaching of Melchizedek until that time. Now, how many people taught on Melchizedek through the ages? You can't count them on your hand. There's not that many. How many even mentioned Melchizedek? Well, they might have mentioned it. But no one taught on Melchizedek until William Branham came. Paul, then William Branham. You don't even find Luther saying too much about Melchizedek. Or Wesley. It wasn't the age. Notice that we come to a perfect man, a mature, full age. Return with me to John chapter 13, verse 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou gnosko not now, but thou shalt gnosko hereafter. So it's very apparent here that there was a certain knowledge about him that was held back from the brethren in the Alpha. And that was to be revealed in another time. Then Peter got into an argument with Jesus because he was not willing to wait on Jesus as Jesus told him to. How much like the believers today who are not just laying in the presence of the Son, as we were instructed to by Brother Branham just a month before he died. We need to learn to wait upon God. He which has begun the good work is the same one that will perform it. Now, John chapter 7, verse 17, he said, if any man will do his will, if any man will do the will of the Father, he shall gnosko of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak it of myself. Here we see the gnosko lets you see the origin. It shows the discerning. Once you see where the revealed word comes from, you'll be as Peter, who said those notable words, to whom shall we go, for thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Nothing outside the revealed word can come to life. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine. He shall gnosko. Whether it be of God or whether it be, I speak it of myself. This is the time of the once for all enlightenment of Hebrews 6. Now Paul said in Hebrews 6, we'll go to it, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism laying on the hands. Notice Paul believed that someone's got to fill the bill. Someone's got to fit this scripture. Somebody's got to be this group. And verse 3 said, and this we will do, if God permit. He said, we're not ready yet. This we'd like to do, this we will do, if God permits. So we're not there yet. But notice, it is of this time that there will be a wrestling of Scripture. He says, for it's impossible for those who were once for all enlightened and have tasted of the good word and the power of the worlds to come, having fallen away. How do they fall away? 2 Peter chapter 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his parousia? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant, that by the word of the Lord, by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming, unto the parousia of the day of God, the coming of the day of God, when the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth right wiseness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable, they wrestle with, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. So what causes the falling? They begin to wrestle with it. They begin to try to manipulate it. What is wrestling? What is wrestling? What do you do in wrestling, Paul? Sure, you try to control the other guy, right? So if they're going to wrestle the Scripture, what are they doing? They're trying to control the Scripture instead of letting the Scripture control them. And so they begin to use the Scripture to vindicate themselves instead of their life coming under subjection to a vindicated word. In John 14, verse 20, Jesus said, "At that day ye shall gnosko." In that day, not today, but in another time, at that day, at a certain time, at that time, you shall know, you shall gnosko, that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. First of all, we've got to ask ourselves this question. What day? What day is he talking about? Then we must also examine what it is that we shall know. Now, how is Christ in the Father, except the Word was in him? As a thought first, then it began to come forth into fulfillment. How are we in him, except it be the same thing? We were in him as a thought, as we see in Ephesians 1. And how is he in us, except it is the same Word reflected into us as a recipient of the very mind of God? That is how we... coming into his bride at that day. Now the thing of it is, Paul said, "This we will do if God permit," but it wasn't permitted. This great revelation wasn't given to Paul. This great what's the right word? This great ministry wasn't given to Paul. We find in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, reading 1 to 3. "Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the ministers of Christ, ministered, or the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but the fleshly tables of the heart, and such trust have we through Christ to God's word. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how should not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more the ministration of right wiseness exceeding glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth." In other words, you see a little Kentucky pond, and you see the ocean, there's no comparison. Now, it's kind of nice to be able to go to one of those little fishing ponds in Ohio or Kentucky, but there's no comparison to deep sea fishing. Right? I mean, this is what he's saying. Just to use a maybe not so good of an illustration. Now, notice in Colossians chapter 1. And verse 25. Paul says, "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." Now, what dispensation was Paul? Paul was made a steward of the dispensation of God. It was a dispensation of grace. See, Paul was waiting for something to happen. In Ephesians chapter 1, and reading from verse 15, the church had already come up through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now they were waiting for something to happen. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith, your revelation in the Lord Jesus, and your love, your expression of that revelation unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Paul said, look, we're waiting for one thing. I know you've been born again. I know you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I can see your faith. I can see your love. There's an expression to it. There's a dynamism. There's a dynamics involved with the mechanics that you've got. Now we're waiting for one thing. And once you get that one thing, you'll understand Melchizedek. When the spirit of wisdom and revelation comes, we're going to receive an understanding of who this Melchizedek is. Paul was waiting for something to happen. That's why in Hebrews 6 he said, you know, this will do if God permits. Therefore the thing which was to happen was not given to him. His dispensational work was a dispensational work of grace, not of resurrection, because he said they'd long be part of that resurrection. Now, from Luke chapter 10, verse 22, Jesus said, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is, no man gnosko, no man has this experiential knowledge of who the Son is, but the Father. And who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Now here we see a special use of the word gnosko that not only a certain few may receive. The gnosko of the Father is not for everyone. Only those chosen to receive it shall receive it. This gnosko comes only by revelation, as Jesus told us. Now, I want you to know something else. I was reading the other day about Irenaeus. In fact, I've added about a page and a half of Irenaeus' teachings on the Godhead. Very specific. One God, he had a son. And he brings out especially this verse. Jesus said, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father. And who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. So no father will do. Only the Father that is revealed through the Son. Jesus said, I didn't come to reveal myself. I came to reveal the Father. God could not reveal himself except through the Son. So the word could only be expressed through an expression, through a manifestation. And by seeing that manifestation, you get the correct interpretation of the word. You see the instrumentality, you see how important it is. And when Jesus says, no man gnosko who the Son is. No man has his experiential knowledge who the Son is but the Father. And who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. It takes a manifested word to reveal the interpretation of the word. Pretty simple, but that's what it is. In John chapter 10 and verse 38, he said, "But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may gnosko, and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Not that the works will produce a belief, but the combination of the word and deed. Vindication is the word following the sign. John 14 and 12 and Mark 16 17 are not the same thing. One is the word following the signs, while the other is signs following. Notice, but the vindication will produce a knowing. In who? He said, all things are delivered to me, but of my Father. No man knoweth the Son, but the Father. And who the Father is, but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him." Jesus said, "Blessed are you, for you're not in that group that's without." It's given for those that are within to know. And remember, in Mark 4, verse 11, when he said, "But to those that are without," that word without is the Greek word exo, ex meaning outside, and o meaning the origin. They are outside the origin. Outside, well, origin is as good a word as I can come up with. They weren't in me to begin with. The vindication produces a certain knowledge. It produces a knowing. John 14 to 7, he said, "If you had gnoskoed me," if you had known me, "you should have gnoskoed my Father also. And from henceforth you gnosko him, and have seen him." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not gnoskoed me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" Now this scripture packs a mighty message about the importance of the gnosko and how it affects our relationship with the Father. It also keys us into the manner in which this knowledge is transferred from Father to Son. That is, via the attributes and the characteristics that came forth from the Father to the Son. We also see here that the vindication is so very important in identifying the source of these attributes and characteristics. For without Jesus being vindicated as to who he was, the disciples could have only made an assumption, but what would their assumption be based on? Guesswork. Therefore, brother, sister, we don't have any guesswork. You know, I get a kick out of these radio talk shows where they, you know, these Bible, like the Bible Answer Man, you know, he's constantly on the defense of the gospel and, you know, trying to prove everybody else wrong. And so he gets all miffed because there's this thing called the Jesus, symposium or some type of thing like that, where they're actually a bunch of liberal theologians are trying to do away with the deity of Christ and just make him some type of a man and try to prove all kinds of, you know, error and everything else. Of course, they get all upset with that. It doesn't upset me a bit. Doesn't upset me a bit. They're supposed to do that. Scoffers at the last time. Why would that upset you? It'd upset me if I was one of them. But then if I was one of them, I wouldn't be upset either. Because I wouldn't have the knowledge I have now. But notice Jesus says, the vindication produces in you a certain knowledge. It gets you right back to source. When you see the vindication, you know the source of where that doctrine is coming from. That's why Brother Bannon said, look, he said the vindication, God stands here, he vindicates to prove that the doctrine I'm teaching you is right. They'd say Brother Bannon was right when he prophesied, when he discerned, but when it came to his doctrine, he didn't have a clue. Well, no, they didn't have a clue. Why would God, like Brother Branham said, why would God stand here and back me up with all this? Just put on a show? It's to prove he had the word. See? John 17, verse 3. In fact, let's just turn to it. Let's go to verse 1. We'll just read through. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, that they might ginosko thee, the only true and living, and the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is eternal life. What is it? To ginosko God. What's eternal life? To know God. Our Father. To know God, our Father, is the evidence that we have been quickened to eternal life. Let's keep reading. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had before the foundations of the world, before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men, unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now look at the election and everything else pinned down here. Seed. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. There's that ginosko again. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have ginoskoed surely my source, that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. The word of the Father which the Son passes on unto us is that which brings us into this ginosko condition, which is an assurance of eternal life. Let's skip down a little bit. Let's read from verse 23. Or verse 21. Verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's this hour. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given to me. For thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. He says in verse 25, Righteous Father, the world hath not ginoskoed thee, but I have ginoskoed thee, and these have ginoskoed that thou sent me. Jesus firmly establishes his relationship with the Father that the world could never have, except those of his elect who also gnosko the Father through the Son. So we find in the reading of Hebrews chapter 5 and partially into chapter 6 of Melchizedek that Paul lets us know that the people struggled with it. They were struggling with the word. They were actually going back into milk. And he said, this is not for those kind of people. This revelation will only be for those who have not only received the doctrine, but will go beyond into the personal relationship and understanding of this Melchizedek. You can't receive this revelation until you're willing to repent in your thinking. You cannot receive this revelation with a Trinitarian concept. You cannot receive this revelation or this relationship with a oneness concept. You've got to go beyond the doctrine, and Godhead is the doctrine. So what should having come up to a place where we understand the doctrine, is that the all of it? No, I believe in the understanding of who this Melchizedek is. I believe then we begin to focus upon his ministry, and through focusing upon his ministry, we will focus upon his relationship to us, how we are affected by his ministry, what it does for us, what it will do in the future kingdom for us, where we fit, and all those many questions. So in studying this book, or the sermon of Brother Branham's, Who is this Melchizedek? I think we're not just going to find a lot of nice thoughts, but I believe as when we study Christ is revealed in his own word and some of the other that we took much time and effort in reviewing, I think it brings us to the place where we get to know him in a way, a greater measure than we've ever known him before. And that's my desire as we study the message of Melchizedek, that we might develop a relationship, a knowing, a gnosko, who he is, why he did what he did, why he made the promises he made, why he came down to vouchsafe those promises, and what he's done in this hour. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we want to thank you because we know that you are the great Melchizedek. And we know that the Apostle Paul said that your own Son Jesus was made after the order of Melchizedek. And if we can understand, Father, the ministry of Melchizedek, what great ministry it was that you yourself came down in the days of Abraham, king over the city, high priest, and why you came to meet with Abraham, that maybe as the royal seed of Abraham, our own understanding, our own faith would come to the place as Abraham's, when at the age of 100 he could still believe, at the age of 99 could still believe for that promised son. It's been some 35 years since the prophet went off the scene. As your royal seed, Father, do we have that faith to believe for the promised son to soon come? And so, Lord, we commit the study. We don't know if it'll take us till the new millennium. The year 2001, will it take us into eternity? But we pray, Father, that we would not rush it. but that we would look over these things and believe, Father. Help thou our unbelief. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. God bless you all. See you Sunday. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever.